Brother Freeman has chosen for his subject or his topic today, the power and privilege of prayer. Brother Freeman.
Well, brethren, we have this blessed privilege again of being here today to offer our service, and I'm certainly appreciative of the class. And it's been a real blessing for me to be here. Wasn't that a beautiful hymn? The words to that particular hymn were just saying, precious moments rich in blessing at the throne of grace I spend. We had our dear brother Larry this morning. I think he left, if I'm not mistaken. But he had some beautiful thoughts on prayer. On the chart there, they had increase your prayer life. That was what he spoke on this morning. I mean, he didn't speak on that, but he had that part of his presentation. Full submission to God through prayer and supplication. Isn't it a wonderful privilege that you and I have been blessed with to have access to the Creator of the universe? I was in awe last night at the presentation at the very last Brother Tard gave, and to see that illustration that he had, and we have access to the one who's over all of this. He's never too busy to hear. The privilege of prayer, which God has provided for his people, is one of the greatest blessings imaginable. Prayer is not a privilege merely, but it is also a necessity. Prayer is commanded as indispensable to our Christian growth. While prayer is a privilege and not a command, yet our fallen condition makes it a necessity. So what is prayer? The poet has well defined prayer as being the soul's sincere desire uttered or unexpressed. Another has well declared that it is the Christian's vital breath. That is to say, Christian character cannot be maintained, dear brethren, without prayer any more than a human life could be maintained without breathing. Prayer is a wonderful privilege, brethren. It is a very great favor to be permitted to approach the supreme ruler of the universe with our petitions. And as we stated, he's never too busy to hear our prayers. So what should we do? We should come, therefore, in the spirit of deep appreciation, of earnestness, and humility, and reverence. So again, what prayer is. There are a number of senses in which the word prayer is used as, one, petition, intercession, entreaty, supplication, confession, invocation, blessing, praise, thanksgiving, adoration, devotion. These all imply communion with God as the center of power and the giver of every gift, every good gift. The fundamental thought is that of a petitioner pleading with a contrite heart for favors for himself or on the behalf of others. The object of prayer. The object of prayer, reprint 4983 in case you want to take a look at that. The object of prayer is to bring the heart and the mind of the child of God into contact with the heart of God, that he may be enabled thus most fully to realize the fatherhood of God, his love, and his deep interest in every item of our welfare. That in deep affliction, we may unburden our hearts to God and thus have forcibly brought to our attention his love, his care, and his wisdom. For our encouragement, not his. For our strengthening, not his. And for our joy. This opportunity, dear brethren, is not for us to instruct the Almighty God, Jehovah, on how to arrange matters for the very best, but to bring our hearts to realize in him as the center of wisdom and power, that having unburdened our hearts, we may be prepared to listen for his answer and advice through his word. Brethren, again, we have access to the Creator of the universe. And he tells us, I believe, in 4:16 of Hebrews, we can come how often? In every time of need. We can come boldly. Prayer is a gentle term for all manner of petitions. Whether it's a request, a hymn, or an expression of thanksgiving and praise. And as I stated, Brother Larry this morning, he had a lot of this that he touched upon. The word supplication seems to carry with it the thought of a continuous request. A repeated prayer, a longing desire, a waiting for the Lord to grant our petitions. Well, has the poet said, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, as I stated previously, uttered or unexpressed. The Jewish nation, by means of their law covenant that was made with God, were in covenant relationship to him under the law covenant, and were therefore permitted to pray to him, and were permitted to pray to him. God does not regard all prayers, but only those offered by persons in a particular attitude of mind, and in a certain covenant relationship. Those outside, even though sincere, honest Gentiles, did not have the privilege which Israel possessed at that particular point and time. And we know on the Day of Atonement, once a year, they had this access. And we know that, as we stated, I believe yesterday, as we were talking, Cornelius, a very righteous man, gave much alms. But yet, he was not aware, he was not familiar with the way to the Lord. And it was not until, brethren, after 3.5 years after the cross, after our Lord was crucified, 3.5 years later, and I believe that Cornelius was the first Gentile convert, according to the scriptures, that he had to send, he sent to Joppa for Peter. And Peter was the one explained, that he did explain to him the way. And our Lord tells us, even in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. Brethren, again, the privilege that you have access to that first apartment. And we see those three pieces of furniture in there. And when we gave our all, it was then that we had this access. Not until we gave our will to the Lord. I said prayers. I was taught that from day one that I could understand something, but I had no idea who I was praying to or praying for. But again, it's such a privilege of the household of faith. We know in John 9:31, and I've had some discussion already on this, and we didn't all agree, but that's perfectly all right. It's agreeably. John 9:31, God does not hear sinners. The Levites, could they look into that first apartment? They didn't have access. Only those that progressed through that court, washed up, tied themselves up to that first door that there. And if it was accepted, then this one thing started to receive the Holy Spirit. And here again, dear brethren, we should be merciful to our fellow man in the sense that they cannot receive that Spirit of truth. Cannot. I think my dear brother here touched on something along those lines yesterday in his lesson. The Comforter, as Brother Rick spoke a little bit about yesterday, the world here again in 14:17, there are two ones that he's talking about, 15 to 17, and it's conditional. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and the Father will give you another comforter. And verse 23 or 26 of that same book, which is the Holy Spirit. But in verse 17, again, whom the world cannot receive. So I believe they cannot. Their prayers will be held in memorial and remembrance, but the world cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at this time. We know eventually he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and the result will be they will all know him from the least unto the greatest. What a blessing. That, brethren, is a God of love. Again, the Jewish nation did have this access at one time, but after AD 33, as the nation, they lost their polity. not as individuals. And they did not, they lost this access. And we're so grateful today that we know he went to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave them the privilege of being sons of God. But we can see that because of that, you and I, the Gentiles, he went out to them to take out a people for his name. And we know that in verse 16, after this, he's going to rebuild the tabernacle. After the church is complete, brethren, he will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And then the residue. Here again, the brother spoke of that pyramid. That is a beautiful picture. That top stone and the sequence that it portrays. What a beautiful picture. And even the, here again, as if I have illustrations, I mean, on the place over there, but I apologize for that. Those who do not esteem prayer a privilege may as well not come. For God has not as yet made any proposition to the world. Prayer is the privilege of God's children. As I stated, Cornelius was a man who sought harmony. He sought harmony with God, although he prayed for years and gave much alms. Yet his prayers and alms did not come up before God until the appropriate time, as we stated a moment ago. See, I have a tendency to leave my notes, and I had that right here in front of me, and I failed to look at them. So why is prayer necessary? While prayer, again, is a privilege, it's not a command, yet our fallen condition makes it a necessity. Because of the fall of Adam from his original perfection, our flesh has imperfection, frailties, and yet we, as new creatures, have responsibility for these weaknesses. And the only way to discharge these responsibilities is to go to the throne of grace and there obtain help in every time of need. Come often, tarry long, brethren. Whoever therefore goes frequently to the throne of grace in prayer indicates that he or she recognizes the necessity of using the opportunity which God has provided in his interest and his privilege. But the person who does the proper amount of watching will have no difficulty in determining when they ought to pray. If we watch properly, we will continually see something about which to pray. If he foresees trouble and sees tomorrow morning, I will pray about... Oh, I'm sorry. If someone's praying, if he foresees trouble and says tomorrow morning, I will pray about the matter. That is a mistake. As soon as one has any thought or idea of a coming difficulty, he should make it the subject of prayer. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Whoever seeks the divine pleasing will find it. In John 15:7, the writer states, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Conditional, very first word, if. There are two conditions here in that scripture. abiding in Christ, and His Word abiding in us. Only those can abide in Christ who are in Christ. Again, only those who abide in Christ, only those can abide in Christ who are in Christ. If the Lord's words abide in us, it will imply our love for them. And diligent study to know the words of the Lord and the will of the Lord expressed in these words. Brethren, let's look at some of the manner texts that we have on prayer. January 3rd, hip and the manner. Pray without ceasing. Whatever might be our natural persistency in prayer, and this is where we, this morning, I think Brother Jim read that for the opening. We must take our instructions from the Scriptures, and overcoming our natural predilections, we must, as children and as dear children, conform our views and conducts to the instruction which is from above. So let us all remember, therefore, remember the words, ask in my name, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. The Heavenly Father has multiplied mercies, blessings, and providences in store for His obedient and faithful children who will ask Him. January the 16th, the manner. Instant in prayer. Again, brethren, what a blessed privilege, dear fellow disciples of the Lord, is ours, to be instant in prayer and to pray always. To lift up our hearts and our minds to God at any time and in any place, and to realize thus daily and hourly that the Father and our dear Lord Jesus continually abide with us. And then, when the active duties of the day have been performed under His eyes and supervision, or at any time when the soul realizes its necessity, how precious is the privilege of entering into our closets and there alone with God, unburdening our hearts. Excuse me. Again, our dear brother this morning, Brother Larry, he had a number of scriptures here. 1 Peter 3:12, and you probably took those down earlier. And it Psalms 34:15 is where what the Peter's referencing. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. He quoted, he wrote, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. So again, brethren, you and I, let us never forget that He's too busy to hear our prayers. And as we have stated that we can come boldly and as often as we desire and ask for grace to help in every time of need. Could there be prayer without Could there be salvation without prayer? I don't think so, brethren. I don't think so. I was reading, I think it came out of the hymns, in the hymns booklet, if I'm not mistaken. Here's a little something I cut out. Formal prayer. I often say my prayers, but do I always pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart, the Lord will never hear. Nor will he to those lips attend whose prayers are not sincere. Psalm 66:18 tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Again, brethren, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that tells us we must keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Our hearts are going to determine our final destiny. Whether we are in that little flock, 14:1, we see that you saw the Lamb, and with him how many? 144,000. But then there's ones that come out of the great fire, the great tribulation, in chapter 7, I believe it is, the great company. And there will be those that have been enlightened. I think our dear brother touched on that. Someone touched on that, I believe. Hebrews 6, 4. My brother is sitting in front of me here. It is impossible. It is impossible to renew one. How does that go, Brother Rick? To renew one through repentance. Once they have been enlightened, that is. But brethren, again, since we have given our hearts to the Almighty One, my son, give me thine heart. And if we've given our hearts to God, we must keep it. Another scripture that our dear brother used there in Hebrews 13, and if you will turn to that with me, Hebrews 13, I believe it's 5, and I have a little problem seeing. Beginning at verse 5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man shall do to me. Isn't that a beautiful and precious promise, is that the promise that he's made? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Another scripture, manner, is January 30th. Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. That's in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. In coming to God, we need have no fear that he is too busy with other matters of great importance, or that he is weary of our coming to him repeatedly with things of small importance. It was to assure us against this very thing that our Lord spoke the parable of the importunate widow, who was heard and answered on account of her importunity. In so doing, we evince both the earnestness of our desires and our faith that our prayers will be answered. If we faint not from lack of faith or zeal when the answer is delayed, as often it must necessarily be, since time is an important element in all of our Father's and God's work. Brethren, I can't say it enough, and I can't be thankful enough that we've been blessed with this opportunity to approach the Creator of the universe. You have that access. Eventually, the world will be given that same opportunity to know the Almighty God. I was very confused I may be still that. I guess the old age is catching up on me now, too. It's going back to my youth, I guess. But I was very much confused as a youngster. I would go to the religious institution which I was brought up in all my life. I had to go. I didn't have any choice. And eventually I rebelled. I know no one else has done that, but the part is that I would go. My mom had always taught me, they were not in the truth, but they taught me that God is love. And I'd go back to this religious institution, and the preacher would scare the hell out of me. I know it's funny now, but that was a very difficult thing for me as a youngster. It was very difficult. But this is what was pointing me. I wouldn't do that to my child. So it was very difficult for me to relate something like that to a God of love. God of torment and a God of love. It just didn't make any sense. So that's why I ended up in this with the Bible students. But I'm so very thankful today that I was blessed to come out of that situation. My dear brother, and he's the chairman today, and he asked me, the same as my dear sister here, Trish, asked me a couple of days ago, I believe it was, how did I come into the truth? I said, brother, we don't have that much time. I said, what did you want, the short or long version of this? And he had to be up here, so I had to notify him. I had to tell him, you'd better get up there because we don't have time for that. But anyway, again, what a privilege, brethren, to be here in your midst. Chairman, what's my time? Is it? That's okay. Okay, no, well, I'm ready. I'm closing. But again, dear brethren, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This is the manner for February 19th. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. While again, prayer is a privilege and not a command, our condition makes it a necessity. May the Lord add his blessing. Find that word.